How can I grow in my personal prayer life? Why do we need to pray? How can it be a joyful thing? And how can I avoid getting distracted while praying? Welcome back to the Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. Here we want to have conversations to help the church engage better with God, His Word, and the culture around us. Joining me today is Alberta boy, Rob Goddard.
Alberta boy, I don't think that's a fair claim anymore. I've lived a lot longer in British Columbia than I ever did in Alberta.
Your man years you've been in BC.
All my man years, yeah. I was in Alberta only from 1 to 16.
Okay.
And a little break in there to California. So you could call me California boy if you wanted.
Okay, I guess that can be a future introduction. Well, today, as
go
mentioned—
Go Ducks, go.
Yes, we are going to be talking all about praying. I think it's an area where a lot of people struggle to figure out how do we do this. We know it's commanded in Scripture to do, but how do we actually grow to do it better? So I'll pass this off to you.
Well, Brett, I think this is one of the most important questions you can ask. And in fact, if you ask me, why is our church not healthier? I think we got a great church. I think we're in great shape. I'm not in any way critical. I love Cloverdale Baptist Church. But if you were to say to me, why aren't we growing quicker? Why aren't we more vibrant in our faith? Why aren't we? And you could ask 100 questions of those, because there's always a long ways to grow. My number one answer would be because we don't pray enough. Mm. There is an importance to prayer that Jesus modeled and mandated, and we as his people often become so self-dependent, self-centered, that prayer is not an activity we do, or if it is, it's an afterthought rather than something we're doing continually. So I love this topic. I think prayer is where theology becomes doxology, where the reality of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, the power of the Holy Spirit, our communion with the Father, they all explode together. And it's just a powerful way not only to know God and have communion with him, but also to accomplish what he desires in his sovereign plan. So I love this topic. Happy to interact with you on it with your questions.
Yeah.
Probably go over the map because it's one of my passions.
Yeah.
But I think this is so important.
Well, let's start with a simple question. In your terms or in the Bible's terms, what is prayer?
I think this is the most important question in answering how do we get more prayer, because we don't know what prayer is. And a lot of people think prayer is speaking in certain languages or doing certain things,
yeah,
or all sorts of things. So I think if I was to simplify right to the bottom and then I want to build up from it, prayer is talking to God. D.A. Carson would say, a little better than me, it's intimately tied to knowing God. It's relational knowledge expressed. Or responding to God's word with your heart, and not necessarily with your mouth, because you can pray in your mind as well, but it's hearing God and answering God. It's interacting with God. Martin Luther would call it the conversation of the soul with God. So I suppose at its core, prayer is relational, and prayer is talking with your Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit or by the Spirit. So prayer is communication with God from our end. We're talking to God.
Yeah, our response to him, because he's given us the word first, and then that's what we're responding to in a way through praying.
You know, Brad, I think it's important you brought that up, because we often think we're the initiator with God. It is never that way.
Yeah.
Grace has God as always the initiator. Mm. So yes, I really appreciate that you put that nuance in.
Yeah. Okay, then why is prayer something that we need to do?
So so many places we could go here. It's obviously commanded in the Bible. I would go deeper than that before I went to the commandments and the consequences. I would say that prayer is a relationship. If we have a relationship with God, we want to talk with God. It'd be like if I said to you, you know, I love my wife. She's amazing. I believe my wife exists. But every time I went home, I never talked to her. I never looked at her. I never interacted with her. Oh, I would listen to her, although obviously not very well. Prayer is the way we relate to God. Now, obviously, relationship is bigger than prayer, but it's certainly not smaller. So it allows us to deepen our relationship with God, to express our relationship to God, to interact with God, to be intimate with God. It's relationship. Now, I want to go more than that, because it's also an expression of helplessness and hope. Tim Keller used to say that a lot. And it acknowledges that we can't do life without God, not only relationally, but now in our helplessness. Apart from him, we can do nothing. He listens, he loves, he acts. We experience his presence when we pray. So the experience of his presence happens, we respond in prayer. And he's chosen to use prayer to glorify his name, to accomplish his purposes. So when we pray, we actually actively not only get to know God better, respond to God more intimately, build our relationship, but we become a part of the sovereign plan of God. You know, some people have said to me, why pray if God is sovereign? And my answer is just very easy, because in God's sovereignty, he's orchestrated those prayers to accomplish his sovereign will. Mm-hmm. So we actually in prayer. So again, at its core, it's relationship. That's where I'd want to start. That's where I'd want to stay. But did you know, Brad, that when we pray, we actually join the plan of God to engage the power of God to accomplish his purpose in our lives and then through our prayers all around the world? Mm-hmm. It's actually one of the most amazing privileges we have as the people of God. So we need to pray relationally. We need to pray for his power to engage. We need to pray because God has chosen prayer to accomplish his purpose, and we engage in those purposes. It's the good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. Prayer is at the core of those. Now, also, we find in Jesus' words that prayer glorifies God. So I don't know if you remember the time where Jesus goes, you know, Father, I know you've already answered me. In other words, he's already prayed, but now I'm praying out loud because I want these people to know, this is corporate prayer, so that they glorify God when you answer. Mm. So when we pray together, all of a sudden we're saying, hey, Brad, it's not about Robin. Brad, it's not about Elias. It's about God and God's power working through us, and God gets all the glory. We decrease, he increases. So all of those things mean that prayer becomes one of, I would say top two or three, of the highest priorities in the life of someone who loves Jesus.
Yeah, and that should, the understanding that God uses prayer in his sovereignty should not make us pray less and saying, well, if God's got a plan, then why do I need to pray? It should make us want to pray more, because if God uses the prayers that we pray to him and this relational aspect to build his kingdom, to make things happen in this world, then we should want to pray more in the excitement of working with God.
Yeah,
in that.
Totally agree. I might even state it stronger. If we truly love God so relationally, not just knowing those things, we will increase in our prayer all the time. So yeah, I think prayer becomes central to who we are as people. Mm-hmm. We just are existing in the presence of God. We're conscious of his presence. We're interacting with him all of the time, if you want to use Jerry Bridges' language.
Yeah. How should we structure our prayers? Because I think this is something, specifically if we're in like our church prayer nights and, you know, everyone's praying out loud, it can be maybe an intimidating thing of how do we actually pray? We have Jesus models this, but how should we actually think of praying or structuring coming before God and speaking to him? How should we do that?
I think it's very helpful. So let me first say that prayer is relational. I think you've heard that from me already on this podcast a number of times. So structure isn't the key. Relationship is the key. Mm-hmm. However, as silly humans, and let me just say for me, I was a pastor starting out a pastor. I think I've shared with our congregation before. I studied the word. I love studying the word. I'd start every day in prayer, and literally within 10 seconds, I'm going to make prayer a high priority for me, because as pastors, those are the two things we're called to, prayer and study the word, blessing God's people, shepherding God's people. Those are the two cores. So I'd start to pray, and then I'd realize, oh, I got to do this, and I got to call this person, and I got to do this. And so I figured out little disciplines, but they were lousy. So I'd end up, you know, I'd come in, I'm going to commit an hour of prayer, and then I'd pray for like literally 2 minutes and then be off on the day. And by the time your day is over at 10, I'd look back at my day and go, okay, I said prayer at lunch. I said prayer at supper, a little prayer with Lori. But other than that, really didn't pray. So I think what patterns do or structure does is allows us to have disciplined, consistent prayer. I often use, John Piper came up with this, but IOUS, incline my heart. Open the eyes of my heart to see wonderful things from your word. Unite my heart to fear you, and then satisfy me in the morning with your unfailing love. I think that's a pretty good structure. I think if you're looking for, and you can find that online if you want, it's pretty easy to find, but I think if you're looking for structure, the best way to do it is with the Bible. So there's a number of patterns you can use to do this. D.A. Carson, Spiritual Reformation, looks at the prayers of Paul. The Lord's Supper, I would say, is the best. And then Donald Whitney even just says any scripture you can use to accomplish what we're talking about, any scripture at all. The Lord's Prayer, I think, is the best. The Spiritual Reformation, every one of our elders actually gets that book and reads it, because we want to be an elders board that prays. And you're praying in alignment with how the Apostle Paul prayed, or the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to pray, record for us. But if you look at the Lord's Prayer, if you want to see it as a framework, not something to repeat mindlessly, it even says that in context, our Father in heaven, begin with this worship relationship. God is my Abba. I cling to him. I have reverence for him. Hallowed be your name. We center our hearts on God's holiness, on God's glory. It's radically God-centered. Your kingdom come. That means we align our will with his, and we long for people to know him and submit to him completely. Give us this day our daily bread. God, every one of my needs I'm dependent on you for. I am desperate for you for not only your kingdom stuff, but everything I go through, the forgiveness part as we forgive others. God, I constantly need to experience your grace. I'm fallen. I'm a sinner. I want to live relationally intimate with you. I want my view of sin to line up with yours, and I want to pursue holiness. And then lead us not into temptation, the whole idea of, listen, I want to persevere. I want to be safe. I want to glorify you spiritually. And so we can get into a rhythm, I think, of prayer. We don't ever want to do that mindlessly, but we can get in a rhythm of prayer where those things guide and guard our hearts as we pray. You'll probably know if you've been to our prayer meetings, we often follow the Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. I think that's also very helpful, the Psalms. So I would just say if you're building patterns in prayer, start with the Lord's Prayer. Go to Matthew 6 and just align your prayers with that. Not just reading the prayer, but actually aligning, understanding what's being taught, aligning with it. Once you mature beyond that, I would say just go to the prayers of Paul. Learn from those. And then as you learn to pray, I think Donald Whitney's book on praying scripture is fantastic. You go through Psalms and things like that, and you just use them to instigate and initiate prayers. And I'll say to you, Brad, as I've structured my prayer life, and now I journal in a very strange way, but as I've structured my prayer life, it's very easy for me to pray for 2 hours, 3 hours. I can get lost in prayer. If I'm struggling, I can go back to a pattern. It initiates my mind to recognize his presence, deepen my relationship with him. It's made a massive difference. The only kind of funny danger is we got pulled over randomly one time at the border. And they go through your car, and they're going through my car. And the guy comes in, he goes, your car's clean, but I got a question for you. He's holding my journal. He goes, what are these? And he shows me my journaling prayer, which is done in a way that no one else can understand. So I had to explain to him that I was a pastor. And so even how you journal can be an opportunity to witness.
Yeah. Some people might have just heard you have no problem praying for 2-3 hours a day. And they're thinking, there is no way I can do that for a half hour, for 15 minutes. And the things that we find the most joy in are the things that we are going to find easiest to do. And I think, how can we then find joy in praying? How are you able to find the joy in praying so that sitting down for 2 hours is something where you're not saying, I will do this for the next 2 hours because I'm supposed to, but you're saying, I have 2 free hours. This is awesome. I get to pray. How do you actually find that joy?
I think it's a great question, Brad. And I think when you don't have anything else to do, what is it your mind goes to? And obviously, I want to be very careful here, because if I set myself up as the model, I am so far to go and so far to grow, and I've come so far. Mm-hmm. So I want to acknowledge, first of all, I shared this with you when I first became a pastor. I'm a pastor now. I'm shepherding. I'm a senior pastor, and I'm struggling praying for 5 minutes. So don't feel guilty, but start to build into your life a deeper intimacy with God that motivates a pattern that causes your brain to constantly be aware of God's presence. In fact, I would want to say, pray without ceasing. That whole concept of prayer without ceasing comes because we are conscious of his presence. So we're building in those patterns. So again, I want to be careful, because I always want it to be relational, but there's also a discipline to prayer. And that discipline is you're building up. Carson would say, pray until you pray. So you're disciplining up how to pray as you pray, and then you build a muscle of prayer. And once you've built that muscle, like I said, 2 or 3 hours, I'm sure I could go longer. Sometimes I'll look up and realize, oh man, I need a pen. I need a piece of paper, because my brain goes all over the map. I need a place to dump stuff off my brain. I have habits. But once you get those and you realize prayer is relational, what a privilege to talk to the God of the Bible, the God of the world. We approach the throne of grace with boldness. I can't imagine a greater privilege than to go to our Father and say, help, or to go to our Father and say, wow, you're amazing, or to go to our Father and just be in his presence. When I'm struggling too, Brad, an open Bible is so helpful. So now, not so much. I think now it's much easier for me, but as I was building these habits, an open Bible and just reading the Bible and interacting with the Bible as I'm praying is so helpful, because the Bible is how God speaks to us. I mean, I know there's other non-authoritative ways, but the primary way God speaks to us is his word. And if you're having that conversation with him, you're reading in the Psalms, and it says in there, you read something, you know, he's a very present help in trouble. Oh, God, right now I know some people that I love are going through trouble. Would you be for them a very present help in their trouble? Yeah. It stimulates a relationship with him guided by his word to accomplish what you desire. So if you're building the muscle of prayer, give yourself a lot of grace, but discipline your life and deepen your intimacy relationally with God. And I really think this is a D.A. Carson quote. He's really impacted my view of prayer. A prayerless person is one whose priorities are not God's. So just remember, if this is truly about glorifying God, then prayer becomes one of our passionate, one of our top two or three passionate priorities, because it's the way we interact with the living God. And I think it's not only that pattern, not only the discipline, not only the structure, as you called it, but it's just walking through your day with open hands and open hearts, which means, okay, God, I need help now. You know, the Nehemiah, the arrow prayer, the, yeah. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you for that. Or God, the creation, I walk in the mornings and the sun, right now, the sun is behind the mountains. It's gorgeous. I take pictures every morning of it. And you just look at it, you just, wow, our God is awesome. Mm-hmm. Like you're living relationally. And so you're turning ordinary moments into sacred ones. And really, that's what life is all about.
Yeah, what I hear you saying there is it starts with what we are finding our joy in first in our day. It's hard for us to find joy in praying if our joy is not living for God first. If our joy is what it's going to be when we go to work, or the joys of what we might be doing on the weekend, then usually our prayer life isn't going to be very good, because those are the things that we're just going to only pray about. But when it's our joy is to live for God, then there's going to be so many more opportunities that we find, because we worship him with our lives, and then we want to be talking with him. We want to be praising him with everything.
Brad, that's just another great way of saying prayer is relational. And if prayer becomes religious, we can become very good at counting beads. I think there's a lot of Muslims or Catholics that do that. We can be very good at even saying rote prayers. We can repeat prayers, but it's not relational intimacy. Mm-hmm. And if we have that relational intimacy, what you're saying, if Jesus is my greatest joy, or that's my passionate pursuit, then yeah, it's an overflow of your life. And it becomes not only a disciplined pursuit, but one that brings incredible joy. And it's a growing joy as you grow in that relationship and in that discipline.
So developing this discipline in part, how can we develop the patterns of planned times? Most of us probably are praying before meals. That's a planned time. We know we're going to pray then, versus the spontaneous. What are some structures that you can have set up, or reminders where, oh, this is a time where I need to be praying, versus when it just comes up naturally?
I think both are essential. So I think you need planned prayer. I think you need spontaneous prayer. I don't do – so there's a lot of guys that I really respect that do prayer retreats. I don't, but I think you can plan those as well, and probably I should. Maybe this will spur me on to do that. I think that you need to do both of those things, Brad. So how do we start to build in – let me start with planned prayer. I would suggest that you have a way where you know, your brain knows, your habits develop, that you're going into a time of prayer. For me, it's open Bible. I have a pen. I mean, those of you who know me well know that I do this at meetings even, but just you have a open Bible, a journal for me, or a blank piece of paper and a pen, and then I just go into the presence of God, and I have a pattern that I follow, but it's a pattern that I lose very quickly. I try to journal in such a way to make sure I know what I've prayed for, what I haven't, because I want to consistently pray for the church. I want to consistently pray for our staff. There's huge needs in my life, huge needs in the life of our church. So I have ways that I do that and ways that I check if I've done it. But really, I want those planned times to be set aside where I know habitually I'm going into this to have a deep, intimate moment with God and be a part of his sovereign plan. Mm-hmm. So I think you actually have to set those up. Have a time that you do that. Know when your mind works the best. For me, it's in the mornings. Know when your brain works the best, and give that time to God, and have a specific amount of time you want to spend. So maybe you want to say, okay, I've never done this before. Then I would suggest take 10 minutes every morning. When you wake up, and I always start with a word, I want to hear from God first, and then take 10 minutes, you could, and just say, okay, God, now I want to talk to you. And maybe you read the Lord's Prayer and pray it back to God. you know, our Father in heaven, I'm so thankful that you see me as your child. I'm so thankful you're my Father. I'm so thankful that you're sovereign over all things. You're in heaven. I praise you that I can approach you as my dearest daddy. I praise you that you love me and that I can be a part of what you're doing. Hallowed be your name. Now you're going, oh God, I want to know you. And you pray in a pattern that allows you to think through what's going on. And take 10 minutes and do that. And what you'll find, I believe, at least what I've found, is that builds very quickly into 10 minutes, not even close to enough. So what feels overwhelming at first and almost impossible because you're distracted, as you build the muscle of prayer, becomes super easy. Mm. Now, your second question, spontaneous prayer. I think what this is, and we've talked about this before, Jerry Bridges would call this the heart of revival. We need to be conscious of God's presence all of the time. Mm-hmm. You know, Loy, I'm with you always to the very end of the age, meaning that any moment at any time I can say help, or any moment at any time I'm conscious that he's with me. And there's an opportunity to, I love Nehemiah. He prayed to his Lord and then answered the king. How long do you think that prayer took? I mean, we're talking milliseconds.
Yeah.
So I think it's just this conscious awareness of his presence. I often talk about conscious awareness of his presence for other reasons. I think it gives us courage. It causes us to be pure. But I think here, Brad, and I love your question here, it allows us also to constantly go to him and say, help, or you're awesome, or yeah, I love you, or whatever it is, it allows you to be that conscious. So I would say, then you're saying, well, practically, how do I do that? I think you need reminders. So I think there needs to be reminders in your life, whether it's memory verses you have, or I use verses for all of my passwords. So if you ever want to break into my computer, you just have to know my favorite verses or the verse that's impacting me most of that moment. I think it's having those reminders constantly so that every time we do anything, one of my passwords, to God be the glory. So now I'm thinking about God. I'm conscious of his presence. Please don't, Brad, enter that into my computer.
I'll try.
But my point now, I'm going to go change it immediately following this podcast. But my point is, you're constantly building into your life reminders because we're stupid. We forget so easily.
Yeah.
We live life as though God doesn't exist. He's not real. He's not relevant. He's not relational. And we need to build into our lives the opposite. And again, let me share with you, I'm not even close to where I want to be with this, but I'm growing. And if you can learn to grow, I think it's the greatest thing in your life because yeah, now you're living relationally. Mm-hmm. God is more real than your husband or wife or your father or mother or your friends. God is more real. What I mean by that is he forms realities, creator, sustainer. So we need to learn to live like that. Mm-hmm. And God is more present than you and Elias are in this room right now.
Yeah.
God is with us. And I think if we can learn to live that, then all of a sudden, if we love him, back to relationship, then of course I'm going to interact with him.
Yeah.
Then of course I'm going to share with him my day. I'm going to cast my cares on him. I'm going to take my anxieties to him. I mean, we were joking about anxiety earlier today because we're concerned about people that are hurting. And it's the same thing. Okay, God, I'm feeling these things. I don't want to feel these things. You're sovereign. I want to trust you. Or take a Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Okay, God was. So you're constantly aware of his presence and you're constantly living your life relationally with him.
Yeah, that's great. And that's, I think that's what it means to pray without ceasing. That command that we see that seems, okay, how am I supposed to sit all day in my chair and pray?
Yeah.
I'm guessing, yeah, you'd take that as, no, it's this relational living of always being aware that God is here, he's with us, and he's someone we can always call out to and be with.
100% right, Brad.
Nearing the end, we have a couple more questions here. Specifically, can you just go a bit deeper on how do we link scripture reading with prayer? You've talked about that. That might be something that's newer to some people, or they haven't heard about that, or how do I actually do that really well? Maybe just give a bit of insight and more of, okay, if this is what I'd look for, this is what I'd go about in praying with scripture.
Sure. So I started this, but let's just, I've kind of modeled it a few times, but I think it's a really important question because I think it's the most important thing. Donald Whitney's book, if you really struggle with this, read the book. It's really short, very helpful. I actually think he's got some messages on our website that maybe we can give some sort of direction to in this podcast, yeah, or where you get it from. But the bottom line is that you see the Bible as relational. Mm-hmm. So now when I'm reading the Bible, so let's go to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, instead of just going, hey, that's kind of cool, you turn that relationally and you go, hey, thank you, Father, for being my shepherd. Lord Jesus, you claim this in John 10. You laid down your life for your sheep. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, thank you for the gospel. I praise you for that. I praise you that I don't have sin in my life. I praise you that I can trust you completely. You discipline and you care and you love me and you've chosen me. Now I've jumped from Psalm 23 to John 10 and you can like, so what it does is the Bible becomes relational, not just knowledge.
Yeah.
And now I'm using the Bible to impact my life in a relational way and turning that into prayer. Now, some people say when you do this, they say, okay, Donald Whitney handles this very well, but they'll say, okay, what if your brain jumps? So if I say, you know, Lord, thank you for being my shepherd. Hey, I have friends in Lori's church that are sheep herders. This is all true, by the way. The dad now is in hospital. He's really struggling. They sang at her wedding, and now I'm praying for him. Is that okay? My answer is, of course. Of course it is.
Yeah.
So if the Bible initiates thoughts that you take to the Lord in prayer, go ahead and pray. So now I'm praying for Phil. Now I'm praying for whoever it is that's on your mind. That's totally okay. And when that train of thought ends, that interaction with God, don't go to, hey, I wish I was a shepherd and aren't sheepdogs cool. Come back to the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh, God, so often I want. So often I want more. But you are my deepest satisfaction. Would you be that for me? Would you? And then you jump into maybe John 6 and you go, wow, God, would I be satisfied in your spring of living water? Whatever it is. So you're constantly using the Bible relationally. Mm. You build off that. Let your brain go in prayer. Then draw it back to the text and let the text drive it again. And then let your brain go in prayer again.
Yeah.
Hey, there's somebody in Africa that needs water and I just found out about it. And you pray for a well that will work. And then your brain starts to float into something else. You go, no, back here. And so the Bible then becomes your guide.
Yeah.
The other thing I think is super, super helpful is if you get a book like D.A. Carson's Spiritual Reformation, that book is fantastic because it shows us how the Spirit inspires prayers.
Hmm.
So you're walking along and you come to any of those prayers. You go to Ephesians 1 or Colossians. I tried to do it with Ephesians 1 last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And you pray through that prayer and you're going, okay, these are the priorities of Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit for the Church of Ephesus. Man, I think they should be our prayers.
Yeah.
And so now you're praying those things. Again, not just words. You want to understand what's being said.
Yeah.
Go ahead and use the words. But you want to pray the content of that prayer.
Yeah.
And then you want to make it specific. So it's just aligning our lives with what the Bible teaches, aligning our minds there, and then living that out relationally as we pray. And again, I'd encourage you, this takes time. Like, again, for me, it took a lot of time. The call to spiritual reformation changed my life, changed how I prayed. I give it to every one of our elders. I think every one of our staff actually has to read it. Brad, have you had to read it yet?
I don't think I have.
Clearly, I will get you this book at the end of this podcast. But it's just so helpful.
Yeah. So you'd say Psalms, great place to start. Where else would you suggest?
Well, I would actually start in Matthew 6. I'd start with how Jesus does it, that pattern.
Yep.
And then I'd probably go to the prayers of Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd probably go to Psalms.
Yeah.
And Psalms, I think, are so helpful because they're the emotional book of the Bible.
Yeah.
They're the worship book of the Bible. They're also the emotional. There's so many emotions there that match. And all of a sudden you go, okay, so I'm feeling overwhelmed. Hey, this isn't the only time anyone's felt overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Inspired by the Holy Spirit, look what this psalm teaches.
Yeah.
And you run to the rock and you follow and you go, okay, God. So I think Psalms is fantastic. So I would say those three as a party. Start with Jesus. Go to Paul's prayers, go to Psalms, and then you can go anywhere in the Bible.
Yeah.
And you learn to do it as a pattern because the Bible is a relational book.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a book written to increase your knowledge. It's a book written to help you know God.
Yeah.
So I would just say, obviously, increase your knowledge. I think it's important. But yeah, I love your questions on this, and I think this pattern has been the most helpful for me.
Hmm. Yeah, I think people can think praying through Scripture is you're just using the words of Scripture and I'll just pray those words. But what you're saying is allow those words to draw your thoughts to be towards God and understanding who He is and then praying about those things, praising God for those things, reminding yourself of, oh, if there's people I need to be praying for, this is the God that I'm praying to and can trust.
Yeah, I would even say it's stronger than that, Brad. Never just pray the words.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes if you're just overwhelmed, you might just want to repeat, like read Psalm 23 over and over again until your brain can take it. But God does not want useless words.
Yeah.
He wants your heart. Remember, it's relational. So just saying the words, again, please hear me. Go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're talking about here. And you got to actually be careful because in the Lord's Prayer, just before the Lord's Prayer, he warns against that. There's this useless repetition. They have these prayers, the Pharisees do, and they're repeating them over and over again, and that's useless. God wants us relationally. Now, if you feel overwhelmed, you just can't pray, that your world is falling apart, I don't mind you taking Psalm 23 or Psalm 46 or whatever and reading it over and over again. But remember, this is about relationship. This is not about a religion that you repeat. So I would agree with what you just said 100% and want to put an exclamation mark on it.
Hmm. All right, last question. How can we avoid distraction while praying? Because I think that's the thing that stops us the most from having great prayer lives. Part of it is that when we start to pray, specifically just in our mind, or if we're just praying out loud by ourselves, our brain just goes elsewhere and then we stop.
I think another great question. If this is the last one, can I just emphasize something before I get to the last one? Mm-hmm. Am I allowed, Brad?
Yeah, you sure can.
So I want to answer your question, but may I also encourage you to be involved in corporate prayer?
Yeah.
Almost always in the Bible, it's corporate. Mm-hmm. And I think we forget that. We see our relationship as individual. Corporate prayer, we need to do this better as a church. We have prayer meetings once a month. Their attendance has gone up, but we're not even close to where it should be if we all had this passion. I just want to encourage you strongly to pray with others and to join us in our corporate prayer and to be aware of that and make it a high priority in your life, because the Bible makes it a high priority. Mm-hmm. All right, your question, how do I avoid distractions? So I'll give you my answer, although I think my answer I got to be careful with because I'm not normal in a lot of ways, but I journal and I use the Bible. So those are the two ways I do it, and perhaps those are very good. I think I also have a pen and piece of paper, as I've told you, and I write down the distraction. So if I'm praying and all of a sudden I realize, oh man, I need to tell Brad that the Ducks are in town and I need to send a text to Brad. What I used to do is go send a text to Brad. Yeah. Now I'll write that down. Yeah. So I actually have a place where I'm praying and a place where I'm putting things. And after I pray, I'll go to those things. Or even sometimes in the middle of my prayer, I go, oh, I should be praying for Brad because, or whatever. I will actually mark that somewhere so I can go back to it. And sometimes you go back to that and go, whatever. Yeah. Sometimes it's demonic distraction. Sometimes it's good distraction. I'm not, but it allows me to refocus and fixate. So I would just say that the things we've talked about, I journal. That was the biggest thing for me. When I learned how to journal, I do it in a very unique way, as most of you know. I try to journal every day. It really helps me a lot. Mm-hmm. So I do one word journaling. It I can see what I prayed for. I can see where I've gone, those sorts of things. So I can, if somebody ever wants to see, I don't know anyone else who does it like me, but it's the best. I think not only journaling, that was a joke, by the way, if anybody is going to write in and say, Rob thinks his prayer style is the best. So I think journaling really helps, letters to God. I think also when you have the patterns that remind you of things, so the IOUS, we've talked about those, or praying scripture, those sorts of things, it allows you to avoid distractions. And then what I said earlier, I'll just reiterate, if you have a place where you can dump those distractions, however you do it, for me, it's pen and paper, however you do it, I think that's very helpful because some of those things are going to be really important. Hey, I need to get the car fixed. Hey, I need to mow the lawn, whatever. Mm-hmm. Those can be demonic distractions, even though they're good things. So just have a piece of paper somewhere. Yeah. Me, this is what I do. If you do it differently, whatever, where you just dump that and then there you go.
Yeah, I think that's helpful. Even something as simple as the things that are distracting you, start praying about those things.
If it
is your car where you're saying, oh, I got to fix that. Oh, Lord, thank you that I have a car. Thank you for providing that. Bring yourself to those things. Because I think we can get frustrated with ourselves and then we can go, oh, let's turn this into an opportunity. If we're to pray without ceasing, let's turn these thoughts that I'm thinking into opportunities to thank God to praise him for those things.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
That we have. Well, that is it for our discussion today on prayer. I hope it was encouraging to you. I hope you can find some of these patterns to help you in your life and also finding times to plan prayer. We know at our church, it's the first Sunday of every month that is our prayer service. Have that be a planned time where you say, I'm going to plan for this time, this evening, where I'm going to be praying, or find those other times in your lives to be doing that. Figure out how to use scripture as a guideline for you to be praying so it's not just you and your thoughts, but that there's a guide of you being brought back to who God is constantly. And so thank you for listening to this. We will see you guys next time.